Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello and welcome to Clicker I Barely Know Her, a The Last of Us HBO TV series recap and review podcast hosted by three silly little boys from Melbourne, Australia. My name's Ben Vanel and I'm joined by Adam Knox.
I'm silly and I'm little and yep, I'm a boy.
That's right.
At least one of those you can definitely tell me I'm not. And I'd listen to honestly you try to argue against any of the three.
It'd be interesting.
You're probably right. Tommy Dasilo as well.
I'm feeling silly after this week's episode, boys.
It's such a silly episode.
Joel's in the hospital. He's slipping on banana peels while he's trying to gun these men down. Oh, I was hooting and hollering.
A classic Frasier-style misunderstanding that leads to crossed wires and a little bit of conflict.
He did get bonked on the head. That was a bit of slapstick. I like that.
Yeah, that
When did he get a head bonked? Oh, yeah, he did. In the back of the head.
Yeah,
he's like stalking through the hospital. He's like, I can't believe the boss is going to be around for dinner any minute now. I've got to kill all these
What do you mean Ellie's asleep? She's meant to be working on the roast.
Put your nice clothes on, for God's sakes. Get out of this gown. He's here in 10 minutes. This is a disaster.
We don't have a doctor anymore. Don't ask why. He's in a pool of blood behind me, isn't he?
He had a mask on. It could have been Dr. Fraser Crane.
It very well could have been. Yeah.
That would be hilarious.
Terribly uncouth.
This is a podcast where we talk about The Last of Us TV show. So for the bulk of this episode, we'll be talking about the events up to and including episode 9.
Yep.
Look for the Light.
The full first season.
That's right.
Look to the light, look for the light. One of them, whichever one it is from the Fireflies slogan.
And we will not be spoiling the games 1 and 2 or the DLC until a very special section at the end called the Quarantine Zone, where we will reveal. Well, we won't necessarily reveal everything that happens in them.
Yeah. We'll be talking a bit, because this is the end of the season now. We'll be talking a lot about what happens in the second game and how we think that might translate to the second season.
But clearly marked behind wall of spoiler warning. So if you've just watched the show, full first season is what we'll talk about. Mm. And then we'll warn you very clearly when we're going to talk about both games.
That's plenty of time to bail out. And we should say, just because we are covering the last episode of this season of the show, does not mean that it's the last episode of this podcast. Mm. We are going to come back next week. We're going to do full kind of overview of the series after we've had a week to kind of settle on it. And we're going to do all your mailbag emails that we've been getting over the last few weeks, some of the longer discussion points and things like that, and also get your thoughts on this specific episode, because we're doing it right after the show has gone up. So, yeah, please email us, clickeribarelyknowher@gmail.com. Thank you to everyone who has been writing in over the course of the season. Yeah, if you've got any overall thoughts or thoughts about this episode, please send them through in the next week, and we'll do a deep dive on the mailbag.
And for full Quarantine Zone experts, give us your predictions for season 2 as well. Mm. Mark those, and we'll do them in the Quarantine Zone.
I'd love to see people who haven't played the games tell sure. us what they reckon, where they reckon this is going to go.
Sure.
If anyone wants to, in the next week, do full fanfic spec script of all 9 episodes of season 2,
we'll read them.
We'll read them out. We'll act them out.
If you're sending in fanfic, I'll read them in advance on my own so that I can fully appreciate internet fiction the way it's meant to be.
Between now and season 2, we can just release a podcast of us acting out this fanfiction week by week. It's a great way to fill the time.
It's good. It's like if we get 9 episodes from all these different people, so it's like we do 9 weeks in a row of one person's take, and then we just go the next 9 weeks is someone else's different take.
I hope only like 4 people email then. But we've had more than 4 people email already, and let's talk about some of those emails that we've received in the past 7 days or so.
Yeah, we'll do most of them next week. And like Tommy said, please clickerybellynow@gmail.com. But there's a few people we asked, like, I think we had...
Of all the correspondence to solicit, ours last week was, do you really have to squeeze the air out of the syringe before you're using it?
And I was firmly on team yes.
Right.
I know that you don't want air in the blood.
Sure.
Flick and the pop-up of the little squirt.
The flick and squirt have been the common movie way of showing they've done it. And I think it's also just to get a needle in frame. It's a useful way of having a doctor hold it up, right?
Show it's not empty, right? Because often it's just clear fluid, so
Really, but so proper medical professionals weirdly had different points of view on how much you were meant to do. Everyone,
the science is clear.
So apparently Bill... I shouldn't read the full name, but Bill Gates email me. He says, you've got a filler full of nano machines.
Bill Gates, what?
Yeah.
Is the devil.
I don't know. It's redacted after that, which I'm sure is. Anyway, whatever. So Nathan says here, family medicine physician from the US is Nathan. We do typically flick the syringe to get the bubbles to the top, then you squeeze the air out. Now, the bubbles to the top. I hadn't thought about that was the purpose for the flick.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense.
I love the anyone just kicking off an email with a statement of their credentials. Because it's often in the email sig down the bottom, it's but by that point, it's too late. Yeah. I've already decided whether I'm taking this with a grain of salt or not.
Exactly.
Kick me off with the big banner, the university logo.
And I'm sorry, this one's from Blake as well. I was wrong about the name. But because it's different in the email to the signature.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah. So we might have a case of witness protection here that I've blown apart.
I see.
Okay.
But
for malpractice.
So that's the you need the air out, especially for an IV. Usually with penicillin, they do it in the muscle, the shoulder or the glute. Uh-huh. That's where I've had mine, right in the butt. When I've ever needed penicillin, I specifically request it.
Mm-hmm.
But they guess the wound is fine. So that's the point of view of a family medicine physician, which I suppose you can only treat. you're sick? We'll come back when your daughter's sick too and we'll be able to treat all of you.
Yeah, sure.
But until then...
You get a special price for it, a group, right?
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
A Groupon.
Yeah.
Becky says that their fiancé is a registrar anaesthetist in the NHS.
Again, the credentials.
Yeah,
and was
great.
Visibly cringing at some of Ellie's medical treatments.
Right, yes, that's right.
These are quotes from an anaesthetist. If he's dying of sepsis, putting the penicillin into... I'm guessing at their tone, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is also someone who's gotten their partner to email us. They've clearly had some strong thoughts about it.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, I'm listening to this podcast about this show where they're always asking for emails of things on this nature. Would you like to write in? No, I can't really be fucked. I'll let you handle it.
This is
my tone however you like.
When one of those very famous people does one of those Reddit ask me anythings.
Oh, yeah.
And it's clearly someone else typing and they're sitting in the back of the bus fucking mad about having to do this. Yeah. I imagine they all travel around
They've gotten the photo holding up the piece of paper that says, hey, it's really me.
Right.
Jason Schwartzman. And then it's anyway, chuck that up. Just write whatever you
want. I reckon Jason Schwartzman's doing his own
probably,
one.
Yeah. Anyway, this is, it starts with dictated, but not read.
Yeah.
If he's dying of sepsis, putting the penicillin into the wound like that makes no sense. Great. Needs to be in the veins to kill bacteria. It probably no longer matters if she cures him of sepsis now. Sticking the needle like that has surely caused a massive hemorrhage into his liver.
Fuck.
What is she even suturing up? He'll still be bleeding on the inside. That was pointless and Joel is fucked.
Great. Fantastic.
So at some point in the second season, Joel dies from sepsis, I guess.
Yeah, exciting. Okay.
Yeah.
And then Andrew says, rarely flick syringes. Most of ours are separate from needles and as such, there's a risk the needle could fly off.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
That does make
you
sense.
You often unwrap the needle thing.
But that's also very funny. And if they're doing a new season of Mr. Bean where he becomes a doctor, write that
needle
in.
Needle flying off. Because you're right. I mean,
but yeah, squeeze a little bit of liquid.
It's for show, right? It's a nice dynamic looking shot.
Yeah.
I do love in the movies when it's like they do that and, you know, they just really give it some. You know, you just see like close to 300 milliliters of liquid just flying out of the end of this syringe like a sprinkler. It's like, hey, save some of the save some for the arm, honestly. Yes.
Well, that's a few of the doctors and nurses who emailed him were like, you don't want to squeeze it too much because you waste the medicine.
Yes.
Which makes total sense.
And Pip also said that on our Discord, which is a part of our Patreon, which is for another podcast. But if you want to support this one, it's also the place to do it, which is patreon.com/filthycasualspod.
Yeah. If you jump on the middle tier, I think it's $10 US. You actually get a bonus podcast every week of us just like talking about movies and TV shows, which probably aligns with your interests if you listen to this podcast.
If you've enjoyed that, you might enjoy this. You might enjoy that. We're going to be talking about the Oscars right after this.
And I guess we'll probably do Succession, right?
Yeah,
in a couple of weeks.
Somewhere, yeah.
Barry, definitely. Maybe. Yeah. Sort of HBO shows like that we end up liking and talking about anyway. So needles. You need to get all air out of syringes when you're giving intravenous into the vein.
Yes.
Thank you.
Intravenous.
Medication. So the flick and squirt is real, although the squirt is exaggerated in TV and film because, you don't want to waste any of the medication.
Right.
The penicillin shot would be intramuscular into the muscle.
So
it's not as important. Thank you, everyone.
So much like veiled disdain for our intelligence in these emails. Now, boys, if you squeeze it too much, a lot of liquid will come out and then you've wasted the medicine.
I appreciate it. I would have liked some clarification on what the word squeeze meant because
what do these doctors think about the media and pop culture that came out in 2003? And what might have happened after that?
We'll certainly be talking about a bit of that next week.
clickeribarelyknow@gmail.com
again. But in the meantime, this episode.
I guess we have to talk about this TV show.
The grand finale. Is this the shortest? By far. 43 minutes.
Yes.
And it felt like it zipped by.
It really
for me.
Did. Yep. Yeah.
This was one of the most direct, the stuff that happens in the game.
Right.
They portrayed pretty one-to-one here in the show, apart from the cold open that we get, which is of a pregnant woman running through the woods you can see like the Boston skyline behind this farm too. I assume that's the Boston skyline.
Yeah.
Sort of empty house in the farm calling out for like, hey, I'm back or whatever.
Mm.
But you can hear some clicking and some scruffling and some infected noises behind her.
Yeah, it feels like a long time in the show since we saw a clicker, right?
The last proper threat would have been like when they all fucking came out of the ground, right? Was that the last?
Left Behind.
Left Behind there.
Oh, sure, but chronologically. But the people are the real monsters, man.
Oh, we didn't. I feel like we might have said this off air that if someone said that in the show, we'd stop watching and cancel the podcast.
It's never happened. It hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
Well, we're watching this. We got this up on the TV and we got the subtitles on just so we can kind of see what's being said. And there was just a great little stage direction in brackets that came up as this lady is walking up the stairs that said, water breaking. Now, I don't remember catching that over the audio.
As we were watching it. Knowing that she was pregnant, I was listening for that slosh.
Yeah, okay.
And don't recreate it.
And then she held up her hand. So, you know.
She is at the end of this pregnancy, which, in brackets, giving birth.
Yeah. Brackets gives birth.
She's got, and so.
She's absolutely giving birth right now.
It's giving birth. She scrabbles with a knife, looks like. Yeah. I thought for a second that she was going to cut this baby out of her.
Yeah, same.
Oh, I didn't think that.
Which may be an intrusive thought, but I thought it looked like it. And then this infected bursts through, gives her a nip, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But she's able to stab it before it tears her apart.
Yep.
And
could have just used that for the cesarean. Just like, how about it?
Yeah, please, doc.
Yeah.
The baby is born.
Yep.
Yeah.
During this struggle. don't know. Again, I don't want every email to be medical professionals, but if you're in, I could imagine if you're in a Scrabble,
yeah,
that you're tightening up, your body's in emergency mode.
Again, we don't want to nitpick like all of our great doctors did, but short labor.
Well, you're probably a pretty bad doctor if you're just picking nits.
That's more
they're not
of a
trusting
school,
you with the big jobs.
What do they call it? Infirmary.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Quick birth, but you know.
It's
also,
a TV show.
If they'd have been doing it for 40 minutes, I also would have been like, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we'd seen the like episode runtime and it was like an hour and 35 minutes, we're like, all right.
Here we go.
Just 50 minutes of that is labor.
Ashley like, Johnson screaming.
And which, sounding a fuck ton like Ellie.
So this actress is who played Ellie in the games for anyone who doesn't know. And I love the decision they've made here to have her be Ellie's mother.
Yeah,
yeah, it's
great.
Cool.
The baby's born and she says... Yeah, you fucking tell them, Ellie.
Mm.
And she seems like Ellie. She sounds like Ellie.
Yeah.
She could have played Ellie.
Yeah.
And
but now she's too old. So you're Ellie's mom.
Yeah.
It's a very cool way of explaining to, seemingly, how Ellie is probably immune.
Yeah.
Because that, but she likes, so Marley, she's there with the baby, it goes to night. Marlene and a couple of other, I guess, fireflies probably by this point already have come to the house. She's still alive, but she's got a big fucking bite on her leg. Yep. And we see during the birth that the bite is before the child is born and the umbilical cord is cut.
Yes.
She lies and says it was 100% before.
Right.
Don't worry about it. The kid's fine. I didn't nurse her. I didn't want to do that because I'm infected.
Which I guess she's assuming like... the baby's going to turn into a zombie, but she doesn't want to see it happen. Because she can't know, like, oh, well, the bite thing means that she's immune. She was probably just like, I don't want you to kill this
baby.
She
probably just doesn't know because she cuts the cord really quickly. Like, I read this as, like, she sees the bite and then she's thinking, like, oh, we're still connected.
Yeah.
If I just do this right away, maybe I can, like, stop the... like, this has just happened.
For sure. That's,
I might be able to stem it.
Exactly, yeah.
So, yeah, she just, I think, truly doesn't know either way, but probably is, like, would assume or be, hopeful enough that she's, like, yeah, I did the right thing.
Yeah.
And even if like, she just wants to give it every chance. She's never going to be like, you better do it to the baby.
Yeah,
to, like,
yeah.
So... but it is kind of, it makes sense that like a little tiny bit of infection got in there through the umbilical cord.
Intra-umbilically, I guess.
And that gives a brief explanation of how it is so rare for someone to have this immunity and then where it came from.
Right.
I liked this more as the episode, like taken in the whole of the episode, like by the time we get to the end and the way it's talked about there. I did not like it at first. I was really feeling like, this like explanation of like going into it. I just was thinking like, do we need this? Like, is it more interesting to just leave it unsaid? And it did at the start. I was a bit like, this origin story thing may be a bit lame, but with a bit of distance from it and taken in the context of the whole of the episode. I'm into it now.
And you really need it as well. I like it like meta-textually for this like literal passing of the torch. That's not what you do with a baby. It's not a passing of the torch, so it's not literal, but you know what I mean.
Sure.
From the actor. That was nice, but also specifically it's showing Marlene's attachment, which we've already seen a tiny bit of with like clearly Marlene knows about Ellie, but understanding that connection that Marlene has to this kid who was her best friend's kid.
Yeah.
They've known each other forever. She had to shoot her first thing after this kid's born and she's looked after this kid and that's where the knife is from.
If this had been all it was of just you seeing that, I think I wouldn't have been into it. But yeah, what it does for setting up everything with Marlene, which is so important for the very end of the episode.
Totally.
I don't really know how else you do that other than just being like, oh, she's known her whole life, which, you know, gives it that little, it just has that little bit of extra element to it.
And shows, not to get ahead of ourselves, but like that Marlene's decision to do what they're doing with Ellie later is just as loaded as Joel's.
Yeah, absolutely.
Basically.
Yes.
So,
the implications for what Joel does is like, well, someone else who was not as emotionally fucked up as you could make that sacrifice.
Joel considers himself to be a parent figure and it would be just as reasonable for Marlene too, because she literally was the second person to ever see her alive, hours after she was born. So,
and like the You know when a sentence disappears from your brain as you're saying it? That's like when trying to start a car and it just goes, that's what I did. I got to go out the front and crank it again. Give me a second here.
I don't even own a car.
No, that's probably not going to help.
It's a stolen car as well. God, this guy over here.
Oh, yeah. The whole show through it, like so many of the sort of side characters have been used particularly with look at this person as a what Joel could be.
Yeah.
And yet again, it's showing what a fuck up Joel is,
yes,
in potentially, depending on your point of view on it. But I think that's the show's point of view too.
I think so.
Yeah, they really have done such a great job of, yeah, people that, a lot of people that exist in the game, not to get into that section too much, but that exist in the game to come to you as the player and say, hey, now you got to go do this.
Right.
Here's your next little bit of gameplay challenge-y thing that you're doing and aren't one-dimensional in the show, but they literally just do exist to kind of give you momentum.
Mm.
And here, there's no need for that. So, yeah, they've really found such good ways to make them round out the whole show.
And how well I've thought all of those characters have been drawn, like especially Bill and Frank, and Bill in particular in relation to Joel. But what's her name from Kansas City?
Kathleen.
Kathleen. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then David as well, like as this parental, not parent, but you know, like how much power in a negative way a person in that role can have over, you know.
Sure.
Yep.
So all of that's been cool. And so the mother here, who I don't remember if she's named Anna.
Annie?
I think Anna, yeah. She, Marlene doesn't want to kill her at first, but manages to storm in there and shoot her. And
yep.
And Anna's very like, do it immediately. Yeah. You have to do it, but look after this kid, please. The fucking soldier outside, one direction of cover up this baby's ears before I pull the trigger, doesn't move a fucking finger.
I was, the one thing I was worried about in like the whole time was you can't shoot a gun with the baby there.
Take it downstairs first. Yeah. Bring the baby.
Shut the door behind you, Marlene.
Or at least she's in a little jacket. Fucking wrap her ears up.
Yep. Mm. Yeah, little earmuffs.
Oh,
earmuffs. Haven't you seen Old School? Earmuffs.
This fucking prick.
Have they seen Old School?
No.
Probably not,
Will Ferrell's never hit the heights that he hits.
04 or something, Old School?
It might even be 03, but I don't reckon anyone saw it by then.
True, it was a DVD.
I think it was a big DVD boomer.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, we see Anna dead. This is back in, I suppose, 2008 or 9.
Right.
Based on Ellie's age. Mm-hmm. And then go back forward and have the, like, the Ellie's face cutting from the baby to nowadays her. Mm-hmm. And
it did make me think this scene too, like, imagine a little baby clicker. Like, there must be little babies that have been bitten.
Yeah.
And then they're just like, but like, posing very little threat. Just all of a sudden, like,
it's like the baby in Train Spotting that crawls on the roof.
Yeah.
Like a gremlin, just like little,
ugh.
Yucky.
Like, I was just like, why would they take this baby when they don't know one way or the other what's going to happen here? And then it's like, well, you know, they notice it turning.
Yeah.
The way that Marlene is too.
Step on its head.
I think if this.
Exactly.
If this hadn't have been Anna's kid, she wouldn't have taken it. But clearly, this attachment there.
Yep.
Yep.
Led to that. And so we go back to Ellie, who is now super traumatized, you can see.
Yeah, well, she's grown.
Only 14.
Yeah. Mm.
Just a young kid of 14 who's had to go through some fucking shit lately.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, we've been critical at times of this show of like spelling things out a little too much. And, you know, full credit to them here. They had a shot of Ellie and they didn't feel the need to put 14 years later on the screen.
Oh, true, yeah.
Ellie is real shell-shocked.
Yeah.
Here, you know, all the shit with David makes sense that she would now be shaken and a bit sort of
PTSD.
Yeah, like just fuzzy, just not really there. And Joel can tell, like, you know, he tells her, you're not really making any noise today. What's going on?
Yeah. Don't you want to play Boggle?
Yeah, I found Boggle in a car.
I found Boggle.
Yeah.
I found Boggle still in its original box, which seems to have been unopened.
This is it's a great way to establish how fucked up she is, because who doesn't want to play Boggle at 100%. All times?
And she loves words.
She's a big wordy.
Big pun kid. Yeah. This is the perfect thing for her. And Chef Boyardee, they'd eaten in like the third or fourth episode.
Right. Yeah.
She
Chef
loved
Boyardee
it.
Chef Boyardee only ever named. Boggle's getting real. You know, like in the movies when someone like pours a can of Coke and it's always like the label is like perfectly facing out to the camera so you can see the text. Mm. This just saw the shot of Joel putting the boggle box in and you can just angled perfectly at the camera. It's like, there's no mistaking it, boys.
Yeah.
That's boggle.
It's going to get the boggle bump.
Parker Brothers, subsidizing this episode, I guess.
Probably. Oh, that's going to be a crazy TikTok trend. All the kids getting into boggle because they saw it on The Last of Us.
Yeah. That awesome show that all the kids are watching. Not awful, traumatizing, scary.
The way that Joel is talking to Ellie here now as well is so different from the sort of more reserved and like teacher on a school trip way that he's been talking to her, just like a little distant. He's properly...
He's daddy.
He's full on dad mode now.
And they've kind of flipped. Like, she's now really reserved and closed off and he's like, hey...
Yeah.
Let's boggle it up, baby.
Yeah. It's boggle time. Hey, I found a bunch of dynamite.
Or did I?
And she's not even paying attention to those jokes. Like, she's out. But she's still super switched on. Like, she's able to go, I know exactly what we're doing. Climb another skyscraper, go look for a thing.
She's just fucking upset.
Yeah. She's had to hatchet a man who tried to attack her brutally.
Yeah.
Like, you just... It makes total sense that
in
this
a burning building as well.
Yeah,
fucking intense.
She's traumatized from it, as makes complete sense. I was going to say as she should be, and that felt too judgmental. as would I be.
Yeah, if you weren't, you should be.
Mm.
And Joel's just like naturally sharing thoughts about like, yeah, isn't it crazy that they tried to blow up this build and it just didn't even work? They didn't drop the bombs properly.
Mm.
He's chatting with her and she's not having any of it. But they do. They try to get up the skyscraper, climb up a little bit that she gets boosted up, and she darts off.
Yeah.
Something grabs her attention.
I don't know how she sees what she sees based on the geography of what... They go up another 10 flights of stairs,
but well,
she spotted something.
She's had a look and something's caught her eye. Golden Retriever daughter and emo goth daddy are off, and she's found a bloody giraffe.
A bloody... Hippo.
The perfect animal to see from a skyscraper.
Yeah,
the tallest one. If you are going to spot any animal, it's going to be a big old fucking giraffe, isn't
it? I think they're only on like the second floor or something, it looks like, or third floor maybe.
It's something we could all use in the apocalypse. Healthy Harold himself.
Oh,
popping in to say g'day.
Make sure you don't get bitten by any of those mushroom fucks out there, kids.
Yeah, they keep doing him. They're still just driving around with the little puppet telling you how to avoid cordyceps.
Yeah, okay. Also, make sure you eat your greens, I guess.
Yeah, well, like a giraffe is really convincingly doing here.
Yes.
Hard to tell. I think it was a full CG giraffe.
It looked CG, but I wonder because they're like handing it stuff, so... They're interacting with it, in a very convincing way.
Real
cool.
Real good giraffe, beautiful music underneath, and like her
big
face
old tongue.
Lights, huge tongue.
I never realized that.
Gene Simmons style.
Yeah.
Imagine a giraffe.
Yeah, the spots on the
Kiss,
face.
Yeah.
Not a million miles away from the Kiss makeup.
Yeah. And with a neck like that, they could probably, you know, do it themselves.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Wow. Play Detroit Rock City.
They're not going to have any ribs removed, is what I'm saying, a giraffe.
Yeah.
Any biologists out there, how many ribs does a giraffe have?
So, but
maybe
Ellie's...
that's what they were doing in the hospital before Ellie came along.
Yeah.
Ellie's
scientific stuff.
Face lights up here too.
Yes.
And she's laughing and smiling and Joel is like over the moon about it. The smile that he has, and there's a bit of sadness in his face too, of like that parental sadness of like, fuck, I want to protect this kid.
Yeah.
Because that kid should only be feeling this all of the time.
Right.
And it's sad that this can only last a certain...
This shouldn't be registering as much because like when you're a little kid, you've seen animals like in the zoo
from
a young age.
Yeah.
So obviously seeing them again or seeing them in the wild is still very exciting. But like this is... She would have only ever heard tell of this kind of stuff before now.
Mm. I guess, there must be a zoo in Salt Lake City.
Yeah,
the giraffes
I guess
are from the zoo.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
They've done well. Do clickers, or infected, I know we say clickers is the broad term, do they not give a shit about animals? Have we talked about this before?
Yeah, are they infected? Are they infected dogs and...
Or like primates, surely, but there are a bunch of monkeys in that university.
Yeah. They must
We've
not
seen, like a dead... Like a dead deer or something?
And I guess like the ones that exist, like the grasshopper or whatever, cordyceps, don't go for other insects.
Oh, yeah.
That's
it's
true.
A pretty specific...
And it's to do with temperature, right? It's to do with...
body, at body least in
body
part.
Temperature. So yeah. maybe different animals have different temperatures where, yeah.
And so,
write in. If you're a marine biologist, write in and let us know. Could there be a whale cordyceps in this
like
world?
Googling stuff to just hosting a podcast with an email address pipeline that we've gone down. And like, when was the Battle of Britain? 40s? Yeah, probably.
Write in.
Yeah. We need a little helper, I guess, to sit on a laptop and.
Well, Joel and Ellie climb up and have a look at the giraffes here, and this little bit of joy maybe has helped Ellie sort of start loosening up a little, and she's a bit more relaxed now. They have a little. Remember when I said get a load of that view once?
Mm.
Oh, I remember that. I'll say it again.
A few callbacks mm-hmm. in this episode, yeah,
which is nice. Like it does a good job of like. Hey, we shared this. I know this about you. Yeah, remember Chef Boyardee? Remember the view? Like, we are bonded now.
Mm-hmm. I loved all these interactions of like, him saying to her here, so, you know, how you feeling? We get to this hospital, you know, what do you think? We could just bail. Mm. She doesn't want to do that. But then she says, after that, whatever you want, I'll follow you wherever you want
to
go.
Sheep ranch, we'll go to the moon. It'll be sick.
You're not going to the fucking moon, hun. I'm sorry.
Well, she very specifically says, this can't all have been for nothing.
The way that this interaction happens, like the way Joel says it, he's not even like, hey, I want to check in with you. The way that he's saying we could turn around has a lot of like, I want to turn around.
Yeah, totally. So how are you feeling about this?
Yeah.
You could potentially be the savior of all mankind.
Right.
How's that make, you know, how are you feeling about that? Mm. Let's say hypothetically that there was a way of you doing this, but then you don't survive.
Mm.
Just weird hypothetical.
Yeah.
Would you say yes or no?
My view, I wouldn't want you to die.
Yeah.
I think the easiest way to solve that would be to ask the fucking relevant party at any point during the process.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
That would be the thing that I would do.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we'll talk about that. But they have, and over this bit, like, there's something that they say that I don't remember what the exact words are, but it's something like, Joel really goes like, you know what this could mean, right?
Mm.
And she's like, yep. No, I get it. I'm ready. I think it's during the next little bit where they go down and they're in like a wrecked hospital army camp thing that was set up after the... and it makes it very clear that she's like wants to do this.
Yeah.
But then the stakes of like, you understand... They don't say it,
yeah.
But it's very clear that she understands and is willing to die for it.
Is it the bit where he's about to go, oh, I'm telling you all this because... And she's like, yeah, I know why you're telling me.
I understand,
Right.
Now I know you know.
Yeah.
Well, I know that... You know that I know.
So you better not fuck this up. Yes, when Joel delivers some more backstory.
Yeah, so
that... I love this where he's like loosened up. He's joking around with her about the dynamite. He's like, read me another one of those puns. Mm. Anyway, now that we're all loosened up, I tried to blow my brains out once.
Yeah.
It's great.
Day
so
two of the apocalypse.
Now that we're having fun.
Yeah. As they get to the camp, he says, like, they have me in one of these camps just like this, the army... And the way Ellie just kind of casually brings up, oh, it's Sarah?
Yeah.
And he's able to just go like, no, she was gone by then.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not this fucking button that she pushed back when they were in Jackson in the same way at all anymore.
Yeah, he doesn't flinch. He doesn't, like, he doesn't have any, he's just like fully open with this person. It's like, I'll talk about whatever.
Yeah.
And so, he points to this wound in his head that I guess is why he can't hear out of his ear that well, partly.
Yeah.
And he tried to kill himself right after Sarah had died, like 2 days later, but flinched, didn't do it.
Yep.
His body wouldn't let him do it is my kind of interpretation of that. He's such a fucking survivor that just like, even though he hasn't wanted to be alive for the last 20 years, just about, he can't stop.
Yeah.
Because he's just a fucking animal.
He says later, forward. Like, you just keep going. Yeah.
Yeah.
You just keep going.
But he says, like, he fully got down to the bottom of it, couldn't see the point, didn't understand it. And then they have, like, this thing where she's like, well, I'm glad it didn't happen and I'm glad that, you know, I guess time heals all wounds.
Mm.
And
then he was like, well, you're my new daughter now, so that's healed the wound.
Yeah.
He says it wasn't time, it was getting a replacement daughter.
Yep.
Which, to be fair, did take time. So
he didn't
time
want
does
that.
Deserve some credit here.
Sure. Took about 14 years.
Even with Tess, even with all of the you know, people in the quarantine zone that he's had a chance to meet with friends. Mm-hmm. All of these people over 20 years, no one made him see any value in the same way that now Ellie has. Partly, yes, because she obviously is now new daughter.
Yep.
And he directly compares them later on.
Mm.
But, like, it's not forced.
No, it's not unbelievable.
Yeah.
I think
he's not. It wouldn't have just happened with anyone. It is Ellie and Joel specifically. You know what I mean? Like,
totally. Yeah, and they know that they're getting to the end of this little journey, and I think maybe subconsciously they both have a bit of an inkling of what that could mean.
For sure.
So they're just trying to just get it all out, put it all out on the table. This is how I feel about you. This is how I feel about you.
Mm-hmm.
And both the same exact tone of like, so you get it, right? Without having to say it, don't make me say it. Mm. They're like, yeah, I get it. Let's get the fuck out of here. I don't want to talk. Like, they're both so closed off, but so fully understand each other that they're not, but like unable to, they're not having a big fucking DNM here.
Yes. Which was weird. Again, we've commented that, yeah, this show is a little all over the place with how it'll be subtle in some things and then spell other things out. It does, it kind of weirdly stuck out to be like, yeah, I know what you mean. It's like, you know, right, he's about to be really explicit and then it's like the show going, Nah, I mean, you get it. It's like, right. So, but do you think I get it or not? Because I'm finding it really hard to read what you think of my intelligence over the last 9 weeks.
I can see people not getting it as well.
Absolutely.
Viewers, right? Yeah.
That's what I think. I was thinking about this yesterday for whatever reason, that I think with the show has like spelled some stuff out more and less in different episodes. I think the whole way through, especially in terms of the characters, it's been really like emotionally intelligent the whole time.
Mm, sure.
Every character's properly had the understandable motivations of why they're doing and saying and whatever the things they are.
Mm-hmm.
And the level that it has spelled it out has been like, I didn't think they needed David to be like, the fighting's what I like the most. Like,
right.
I fucking get it, dude.
Yeah.
But the everything that's underneath there, the story that's going on, and especially with this, like these two in particular are such fucking good actors.
Yeah. I mean, probably taken as a whole, it's all fine overall. Those little quibbles you might not notice if you were just sitting down and burning through this and not doing a podcast about it immediately afterwards. You know, it's like a lot of it is stuff that we're probably noticing more than.
Well, people have been emailing in to say it as well. But again,
I would say they're watching it kind of in the same way that we are. They're like kind of taking it in and it's all taking the time to listen to this and write in.
So. And it's different things for different people, right? Yeah. But I think consistently through the whole thing and why the show has worked so well for me and the games as well is because like the characters are so fully there that even if at points they are saying why they think stuff, you're like, but yeah, I get exactly why that is.
Right, like, it's not like a cheap workaround, like a writing trick. It's like, no, you're saying the thing that we believed you felt anyway.
Totally, and exactly, you can't spell something out that you don't already see is there.
Yeah.
And all of the stuff is there so well with just character motivation and that like emotional level of intelligence, I think, with this show.
Yeah. Speaking of not seeing things that are there, these little firefly cunnies getting the drop on them.
Oh, yeah.
I loved this shot, just walking along, seeing this little guy kind of appear in the background.
Yeah.
Chucks a little smoke bomb at him.
Yep.
Knocks him out.
A little flashbang, I think.
Yeah. And at this point, I was like, oh, fuck, we're nearly at the end.
Yeah.
Like this, because, you know, we know what it was going to happen in this episode. And it was like, oh shit, aren't we like 15 minutes in?
Yeah.
But no, like,
We're zipping through, but yeah, these people who we find out were the Fireflies get the drop on them, knock them out. Joel wakes up in a hospital bed with Marlene standing pretty ominously in the corner of the room.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and the first thing he asks is, where's Ellie?
Mm.
What's going on with her? And Marlene kind of dodges it a couple of times, talks around
she's
it.
She's fine. She didn't get hurt.
Yeah. And she's like, yeah, she is currently intact.
Yes.
Especially her delicious brain.
He goes, where's Ellie? And she goes, boy, it took me a long time to get here.
Yeah. Oh, how about those giraffes outside? Did you get a load of them? That was fucking crazy. Where are the other animals?
Fucking hot today. Eh?
Yeah. Do you think it'll rain later? Cloudy.
But she does say, like, we lost so many people crossing the country to get here. How the fuck did you two do it?
Yeah.
Joel's like, it was all Ellie. And she's like, she'd have been dead. She stood up as soon as she got outside of the walls.
Yeah. She's 14. Yeah. That's not true.
You're a liar, Joel.
You're an idiot, Joel.
You're a man who lies to people.
If that pedophile had taken her day one, that's a different scenario, my friend.
Yeah.
But she's like, she's been prepped for surgery, and it eventually comes out like, yeah, this surgery's in the brain. The doctors really think that this shit that's going on with her, they know what it is. It's like a marker that the cordyceps that gets in her body sees and thinks that she's already infected, so it doesn't bother to try infecting her.
Yeah.
It will work.
It's
they're pretty sure.
Mm. It tricks the cordyceps into thinking that it's somewhere different.
Yeah. The cordyceps all think that she's in France, so like, okay, you're allowed to watch Taxi.
Yeah. Oh, that's ages away. We're not going to bother infecting this person.
But so she makes it pretty clear.
Yeah. They're going to cut open her brain and take most of her brain out.
Yeah, the cordyceps is in the brain. This is, but don't worry, because we knocked her out.
Yeah.
And she's not going to feel fear or pain. That's her justification for...
Just doing it.
Yeah.
So she, she doesn't know.
She doesn't know, she won't know, she'll be dead.
Exactly. Yeah. Ellie isn't aware, and because Joel's just woken up here, you can assume same thing, knocked out.
Yeah.
Wasn't conscious at any point from, and when she's in the car later, she's like, were they fireflies or something like that?
Yeah.
So she has no idea what's going on with her, which is the biggest fucking, like, you need to ask her. Mm. And I understand that these doctors probably think, like, we don't have a choice. It doesn't matter. If she says no, we're doing it anyway. Right. So, like, why even bother ourselves with that of knowing the kid didn't want to do it? We just have to.
This is like the entire world goes back to normal.
Yeah.
This one kid doesn't know what's happened. Mm. Everyone's happy except for one old man who's been sad for nearly all of the last 20 years anyway.
Right.
So who cares?
Yeah. Someone's fucking the parent of one of the people on the trolley problem. But guess what?
Mm.
There's 10 other parents with the other five people or however many.
5 billion.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a however fucking many are left. Yeah. It's the most important thing in the world. We're going to do it. I understand how you feel, Joel, because I have an attachment to Ellie too. But too fucking bad.
Yeah.
Yep.
We're doing this.
Yep. Sometimes you have to do things that feel bad.
Yeah.
People have been talking about this film old school for like 20 years now. A couple of people caught some early screenings. They said it's real good. I want to get the world back to normal so that we can all enjoy Frank the Tank streaking through the quad.
If Will Ferrell,
don't you want that, Joel?
If Will Ferrell has survived all of this, we need to find him and get him the star vehicle that he needs.
Yes. What if he was... Wait a minute. What if he was a newsreader?
Oh.
We'll never know. We need to do this, Joel.
Look, the scientists have said 60% of the time it works every time, okay?
They've got those big, bright lamps above her so they can do surgery. And personally, I'm really into those lamps.
That's right.
Well, I don't know how else to phrase it right now. And we need Will and Steve Carell. But he's definitely dead.
Yeah, well,
it's fair to say not long after this. Boy, that really escalates.
Look, I know that you're trapped in this glass box of emotion right now, Joel. But don't make a bad choice here, which milk would be. So anyway, they fucking...
Every riff on this show better than that fucking Mario sketch on SNL that they got Pedro to do, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go that far. The quoting Anchorman is the height of comedy.
I think it's better. I didn't say it was great.
But so she hands him, or is tells the other two people, like, take him to the highway, give him his shit. We don't need to kill him right here, even though I know what a huge threat he is. Like, the first thing that she says when he wakes up is, like, you are the last fucking person in the world I wanted to be indebted to.
Yes.
And now I am.
Mm-hmm.
So
her giving him the knife, too, just felt so... That was the bit where I was like, these guys are cunts.
Well,
like, trying to be like, oh, sentimental, it's a thing. It's like... I don't want that. Like, I don't want her little knife to remember her by. Jesus Christ.
And Ellie, like, the fact that Ellie had that knife and kept it and the joke books and stuff, she's a very sentimental person.
Yes.
It's not like she's so cold, like Marlene, like, I'll do whatever I want for the world. You know, it would hurt. She loves being alive.
Yeah.
Look at how she fucking reacted to the giraffes.
Yep.
She's so curious about everything. She's like a full of life kid. So it's not like it's the easiest thing in the world for her to be like, you know, like Bill was like, I was glad everyone died.
Right.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to die and has all these things that clearly means to anyway.
Yeah.
She tells these guys, take Joel out of here. And immediately Joel is like, okay, well, I'll kill them.
Yeah.
I'm going to walk real threateningly, real slowly down these stairs. I'm not making
it to the highway, boys. No. They're not getting out of the building.
I'll leave the knife here and then I'm going to come back and get it. How do you feel about that as a power move?
He's got, I think, like, one of the two guys have the knife on them, I guess? They must do.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, he...
They grab his bag and stuff and they're going to... It is very naive to be like... We'll give you all of your supplies and a weapon. Mm. Just don't come back.
Yeah. And she does say, like, if he does fucking anything, shoot him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But.
And he does something.
She knows he's one of the most dangerous men who she's come across in the 20 years of dangerous people being alive.
Even if, like, they have time to do the surgery, he might come back and kill Marlene. You know, like, he's not going to be happy about it.
But I guess Marlene, like, she's a fair person and she knows she owes him.
Yeah.
And, like, it would be cold for her to just shoot him.
Yeah.
Sure.
So she should have, though. She should have, but, like, yeah, this mercy that she shows comes back to fucking bite her.
Comes back to shoot her in the tum-tum.
So he sees where the pediatrics level is on a hospital floor guide chart thing, goes into the stairwell and fucking easily gets both of these guys.
Jason Bournes it up, doesn't he?
He really does. I love his stalling technique, too, that works where they're like, did we say stop walking? Yeah. And he's like, I just wasn't sure which way to go. And they're like, down.
Yeah.
And he's like, whoopsie daisy.
The stalling technique of just stopping. It's like, I know. Beautiful.
And they're so both simple. Like, keep why walking, are you going please? So slow here?
Yeah.
Well, if you must know, it's because I'm planning to overpower you and shoot you both.
Yeah.
And then go on an absolute tear. Yeah.
I loved the way they did this scene where the sound all comes down pretty quickly and you get just this sort of like ominous music of like, and it's like Joel is this fucking horror movie monster.
It's really sad, like kind of tragedy music.
Yeah.
It's like end of the film or something like, it's not glorified at all. It's like this is... Yeah, this is a tragedy. This is a really awful, sad thing that's happening.
The scene where everyone in the platoon that you like and have watched the whole movie get shot by the enemy.
And it's just the other perspective, right? Where, the enemy is fucking Jason Voorhees with a gun who, like, his face goes sullen and down and, like, he almost disassociates and just is this fucking machine going through and killing a ton of people.
I'll be interested to see the response to this bit because I found this really hard to watch. This felt like a really realistic depiction of this kind of scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Not played for like, oh, and then he's hiding behind a bin, fully like, oh, this is a person who's just gone psycho. Like, pretty much I think all of the killing or most of the killing in this show has been like, oh, very justified because we're under attack, so we have to, like, kill these people to get out.
Right.
This is just a man deciding to destroy these people who are all trying to do the right thing.
And we've seen Joel do a bit of torture before, but it was just... And he's killed people through that, and, like, he's done... He's gotten up to 50%, but this is him just flying at 100% killer. Like, the thing that Maria was scared of but before that she'd heard the stories about from Tommy... That you assume Tommy has probably taught him how to do all of this because he was in the army or whichever branch of the military he was in.
Yeah, but, and lots of close-up shots too of people just with bullet holes in there. Really,
fucking
the guy
graphic.
Who directed this, Ali someone.
Oh yeah, Ali Abbasi. Yeah,
yeah, and directed last week's as well, I believe.
Yes.
I think those are the two they did.
Yeah,
great. Loved the direction in the last two episodes specifically.
I agree. I really liked last week's and this one's, and it is he's like a fucking shooter going through this public building.
Yeah,
it's deliberately filmed in that scary way where like it's this
he's
fucking psycho.
And now he's walking through this corridor. He's in the pediatric unit and he's walking past elephants and monkeys that he doesn't seem to have noticed are there at all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Tommy, good news. Do you know what a picture is? Because luckily...
No, I don't know. I'm trying to talk about this little play that we just saw performed in Ben's house.
But it is like they don't show them, but you can see... sort of fuzzed out of focus, some giraffes on the wall back there as well too. And it is like, I think the elephants and the monkeys are the same thing where like, I mean, he's in pediatrics, it's all there for kids, but he is blasting past and being scarier than what this thing that is built around what kids want. He is going through and literally fucking it up, right? Like this is, He's destroying a nice thing that a kid wants.
Yeah.
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 Which is unrelated to anything happening in the show.
I do.
But
I do think I'll just cut that out then.
I do think that it's interesting that in a hospital that is abandoned, they're still bothering to use the exact, like, proper rooms.
I thought that as well.
They surgery.
Gotta go to pediatrics.
I guess it just has the right sized masks and shit for kids.
Yes. Like, She's like as big as a small woman. you don't take 5-foot-tall adult women to pediatrics. Yeah.
Still bothering to take an unconscious little girl through the bit where there's like elephants and giraffes painted on the walls is pretty funny.
Well, afterwards you can play with the blocks.
I'm assuming it's because, yeah, I don't know if scalpels change, but they've got all their masks and shit on because obviously she's infected, so they need to be careful. But there's some doctors in there. One of them, Joel, and like just real. Like one word sort of things of just like, oh, well, this is, but like, leave her alone.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But just very quickly, coldly said, one doctor comes up and he's like, I'm not going to let you take her. Immediately shot square in the head.
Yeah.
Without even thinking about it for a second. Just boop.
Picks up one of those tiny child scalpels to try and defend himself.
They're different.
Fighting till the very end.
If they'd have been on the second floor.
Oh, yeah. He would have had a fucking meat cleaver. Do this in the big boys unit just so we've got protection.
Big chainsaw.
Makes the other doctors step back and whips up Ellie and takes her down the elevator, holding her very much in the same way he was with Sarah when she'd gotten hurt.
Brutal close-up of doctor, bullet in head, bit of muck on the ground.
His brains got removed.
Really, really.
Ironically. Oh, damn.
Joel did a bit of surgery of his own.
Well, he's a doctor who, like, at least he's proven he wouldn't ask a patient to do anything he wouldn't do.
Yeah.
He takes her down to the basement. There's a car there, luckily.
And also, a final boss.
Marlene, I guess, knows Joel, knows what he would be doing. And it's like, I can head him off at the pass.
Yeah. Yep.
She's worked her way down to the basement and tries to reason with him, which, what else are you going to do?
Yep.
I guess, but like, might have been a good idea to just chuck a bullet in him at several points during this because, she gets his attention with her. Like, you can't keep her safe forever.
Mm. Yep.
She's going to be a fucking person in this world.
Mm-hmm.
She's fucked like we all are unless we have some way to fix it, which is her. What are you doing?
She will die eventually anyway. Yeah. Then it's all for nothing.
Mm.
She'll be torn apart. She'll be murdered. Like, what are you fucking doing?
Yeah. And again, like, we just saw Joel not listen to a second of reason with this doctor. Just immediately, Marlene just like, it's just a different person. Can't like, has an opportunity right there if she really, really wanted to take it. But I don't know what she's doing. Does she not have the cojones to do it, or is she hoping that she can talk him around? I mean, she must know that she can't.
Yeah.
Right?
She's such a like powerful, convincing person most of the time too. Maybe she thought she could. Maybe she's just actually trying to do the right thing.
Yeah.
I do think that most of her life seems to be doing what she thinks is right at any cost, but unfortunately, so is Joel.
And if she gets Ellie back, but she's had to just blow Joel's brains out in order to do that. She probably doesn't want to do that.
And you can't.
She wouldn't be able to live with herself, it seems like. Yeah,
it is, of course, risky to shoot at Ellie too.
That's kind of what I assumed initially. But also, like, he does walk out. He's got his back to Marlene initially. So, like, but I just think that she doesn't want to kill someone in cold blood.
I agree. Yeah. And she even starts putting the gun down and she's like, even with what you've done, we can still work this out. We can still do it. This is more important than that. Like, we're not. Just let's fucking do it.
Yep.
And before he's made his decision as clear as he makes it in a moment, it goes to Joel driving away in this car. But very quickly we find out Ellie is in the back.
Yep.
She's still drugged up, but she's kind of waking up. And he starts laying on the bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
He tells her that there were dozens more. Turns out there were heaps of them. But some raiders came, so that's why you don't have your clothes and why we've had to run away quickly.
The dozens of them, they found out they couldn't make a cure out of them anyway, so there's no cure.
So don't go looking again.
Yeah. You're not useful.
Yeah. Yep. Not only are you not special in the sense that there's others like you, It would have meant nothing, useless anyway.
Yeah. And then we had to run, which is why all of this has happened. And you can see Ellie is like disappointed, but also I think very clearly here and at the end, I don't think she fucking buys it.
Well, she also didn't even know she was, you know, they got jumped outside the hospital.
Right.
So she didn't even know she was going in for any of that to begin with. So
she's like, well, where are my clothes? You know, like she's asking questions of like, that make sense. That make Joel's explanation make no sense.
And this whole time she's been this smart, observant kid who's figured everything out.
Yeah.
Like, and Joel isn't a good liar.
No.
No.
His,
hey, we'll get you some new clothes.
Yeah, don't
Wanna
worry.
Play Boggle?
But so intercut with this is him shooting Marlene and then shooting her a second time.
I loved this cutting back and forth too.
Yeah, me too. And he tells her, you just come looking for her, which is true.
Yeah.
And shoots her square in the face again.
Yep.
So, like, he knows he's doing the wrong thing here.
Yeah, he's making a selfish choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's clearly that this choice is, like, he's doing what he couldn't do with Sarah.
Yes.
This is his chance to relive the thing that he views as his biggest failing, that he's said, like, I fail people.
Right.
And this is his first chance he's had to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And he succeeds in that way. He fucking pulls it off.
He protects her. He stops her from getting killed.
Yep.
But again, he takes the decision. Well, he makes a decision for Ellie, which was going to happen anyway. You know, like, a decision was made on her behalf by Marlene, but he makes a different decision, again, without knowing if that's what she wanted.
And he does know.
Yeah, knowing that she doesn't want it.
Marlene kind of points that out. She can tell, like, you know that this isn't what she'd fucking want you to do.
Yeah.
And he lies to her because he knows that it isn't what she wanted him to do.
Yes.
I think you can kind of see, like, as he's stalking through the hospital in his head, he's like, well, I'm doing the right thing here. I have to protect this person. Means everything to me. Again, all the stuff he said. He failed his daughter. All that. I think he's like, you can kind of see he's like, this is just what has to happen.
Right.
But then the moment where he's telling Ellie this big lie, I think that's the moment where you see him shift and he's like, okay, well, now I'm lying to her. And now I'm, you know what I mean? Like, he can justify all the other stuff.
Right.
And this is just now an extension of, you know, he has to keep that going. He can't tell her what he's done. But you kind of see that flick in his head of like, oh shit. Okay, now this person that I've attached myself to and said that I have to protect and do everything for, I'm now just inventing this story to her. That's bad.
Yeah.
Objectively, that's very bad.
Totally. Yes. Like, he just, like, she is literally the most important person in the world to society and to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he chooses himself.
Yeah.
Basically.
This relationship that I just did heinous things to protect is now kind of ruined anyway,
right?
Because now we have this imbalance and this dynamic where I have to hang on to this secret and know that I've lied to this person.
Right.
So what was I protecting? It's gone and it's changed anyway.
But that's the thing, is he doesn't even necessarily, like, he is being selfless in the sense that it's not about protecting his relationship with Ellie necessarily. It's just literally protecting her too.
Yeah.
Like, he knows he's destroying that, and creating this lie is destroying that, but, or, you know, has the potential to, at least. Like, it's changing it into this other thing.
In his mind, it's black and white. It's like, either she dies or she lives.
Yeah.
If I protect her, she lives.
Just literally at all costs.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's a thing that, you know, I've never been a parent, but that's what I hear it's like.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just fucking anything, you just will do it.
Yeah.
And he is a father to her now. You can tell it's in his bones, and he, I mean, almost doesn't make the choice. It's just who he is. Where, like, like with how he wouldn't shoot himself.
Yeah,
it made sense to. He wanted to, but he couldn't do it because survival is just everything to this dude.
Yep.
So he can't compute this.
Yeah, he doesn't really get any time to think about
good
it.
Thing
this
even.
All gets dropped on him when he wakes up. He's marched out. That whole process is about, what, 2 minutes?
Yeah.
Between him finding that out and then deciding that he's going to go on this rampage. It's not like he gets out of the city and then he's like, nah, you know what, actually, fuck these guys, I'm going back in. He's just pure instinct.
And Marlene knows that, or like, maybe she'd have talked to either of them, but she probably knows that he wouldn't be for it.
Yeah.
Which is why the first thing is like, we're going to fucking get you out of here.
Yes.
We can't have you around. You cannot see her. And we're not even going to ask her about it because we're doing it whatever anyone thinks.
Yeah.
Like, you guys aren't a factor in making this choice.
Yeah.
Which also morally bad, like not asking people, like taking away their agency in it is bad, but it's understandable.
It's like a flip side of Joel where it's like, I will, as Marlene, I will take on, you know, the moral failing of removing, you know, consent from this girl, you know, and just going ahead with it. But I will make that personal sacrifice for the good of the entire world, right?
And
to live with that.
We know that Ellie does, like, this is what she was prepared for or whatever. But if you look at David and then Marlene in back-to-back episodes, they're doing similar things. They're not letting her... you know what I mean? Like, it's completely removing her...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Consent, exactly, for this. Yep. So, like, it's bad what they're doing, but... I get why Marlene would make herself a martyr and just be like, okay.
Yeah.
But Joel's made himself a fader. And so he's...
A what?
Taking Ellie out of this.
I wonder if it was a bit different, if it had been a bit different where they weren't knocked out, Ellie was awake and being briefed on it and getting to make the decision and she decided it and he got to have a farewell with her 100%. And discuss it.
Like, right. If Ellie told Joel...
How that would have gone down for him.
Yeah. If Ellie was telling Joel that this is what she wanted and he was also bound and gagged... then maybe he'd have been able to live with it. But, like, I think that they made a mistake in not letting that happen too. Mm. Like, it is part of what... like.
Or if they had have lied to him and gone... She woke up for a bit. We briefed her through it. She said she wants to do it.
But you can look at what happens to them from Joel in a way as like retribution for them doing this to her without her consent. Like it isn't clear. It's not black and white. Like they're all doing filthy shit. But
filthy casuals.
What does that mean?
That's a great question, actually. I think it's a t-shirt company.
So it's interesting, but anyway, Joel clearly knows what he did was fucked because he lies to Ellie.
But then he immediately is like, yeah, now we're father and daughter and let's have a chat on this hike.
Yeah.
And
hey,
so
you're like my daughter.
I know. And he's telling her all, like, they're talking about Sarah. She used to love hikes. She's different to you. She was girlier. She was taller. Her smile. What a smile.
Yeah.
I love that where he's like, well, she was, you know, you'd get on even though, you know, she was pretty different. And Ellie's like, oh, in what way? And he's like, she was taller. It's like, well, I mean, you can get on with people who are different heights.
And also,
short kings only.
Yes.
What was she?
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess she might have been by now.
Yeah.
But by now, for sure.
Yeah.
This bit, like, yeah, it's him talking about her and like, oh, you guys would have liked each other. But, and obviously, you both fill similar roles to me where I see you both as a daughter. But also driving home the point of like, Ellie's not your fucking daughter, dude.
Yeah.
They were different and Ellie knows that and she doesn't seem like thrilled about this comparison either. Like, but it's not pissing her off.
The freedom with which he now talks about his dead daughter is strange. It's not, it doesn't feel like a healthy, you know, process has happened here.
No.
This is a very strange, he's like sublimated his grief.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I've got a new daughter now, which we've, you know, obviously discussed throughout the whole season, but it's real now.
Yeah.
Totally.
Because,
and
like you said before, because he did the thing that he couldn't do. He's like, well, I saved Sarah.
Totally. Because you know? He's worked through the pain, clearly.
Right.
But, yeah, is it called displacing these feelings onto Ellie?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, is he, maybe he's band-aided the pain up with her, but like, I don't know, man, she's still dead and it's like, it doesn't necessarily feel like he obviously knows that, but I don't know, it doesn't feel like he's grieved because he hasn't grieved for 20 years.
No.
Right, he's locked it all away.
So it's got to be this different thing, like he's fucked up.
Yeah, he's a fucked up man.
I guess he's sort of grieved, like he's lived his life in this very like,
he's survived though.
Way.
I don't think he's grieved, but he's good at surviving. And what he says to Ellie is like, you might not want to, but you just keep fucking moving forward.
Right.
And eventually a new daughter will come along.
Yeah. Yep. This would have been a great scene if they were walking along and he was like, no offense, I reckon Sarah would have fucking hated you. I mean, it's in a way, it's actually good that she didn't survive day one of this outbreak. Because if I had have then met you, I just don't reckon you guys would be getting along at all. And I really care for you now. I probably wouldn't care for you in the same way if my daughter was still around. But, you know, I guess we'd get along.
Yeah.
And just you two going at it and fighting. Maybe, I just think it'd be really awkward.
I reckon they'd have liked each other because they were both funny. I think he's right.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe if Ellie found some platform shoes, you know, just even at the height difference. Same height.
They were so noticeably taller and shorter. I don't remember.
Wear that smile, wear a dress sometimes.
Right.
But like, he's weird about it.
Oh, he's so weird.
And it's not, I don't know. It feels like the same. Because also, like, if he'd aggrieved in the last 20 years, like he was with Tess, who clearly loved him more.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what
then
it would.
He loved her, you mean?
Yeah. I don't know if what the thought process would be of like, should we have a kid in this world? But like, he met her years after Sarah died.
Yes. Yep.
But he's been in fucking fight or flight mode forever.
Yeah.
Since too, like he's literally been in survival mode forever. So you can't process shit during that time. So it makes sense that he hasn't. Yeah. But also,
he still hasn't.
And now you're fucking up other people's shit. Yeah.
And he clearly views this as like a, hey, wow, things have worked out.
Yeah, we're back at Tommy's place now.
I got to keep this kid. We're going to live in this place where we'll be safe and we'll have an actual life, which is why he's able to have...
I'm going to teach you guitar.
Yeah. Beyond just like what he's actually saying to her and how fucked up it is, like the comparison to his daughter, the fact that he's able to have this kind of like funny, jovial conversation where he's like, oh, well, you know, she was girly, not that you, but you know, like he's able to kind of...
You murdered 30 people and lied to your new daughter.
He's exhaled for the first time in 20 years. He's like, yeah, it's all... Things are all good now.
Yeah.
You're right. Like, to him, it's totally... Story's over.
Yeah.
Here we go.
That's what I wanted. Yeah.
Oh, good. Good thing we got out of that one. Mm. And Ellie's not on the same page. And so here they've driven back to Jackson and... Ellie stops and is like, hey, remember how you asked me about killing people? Well, I had to kill my friend Riley.
Mm.
She was the person in the mall that I kind of talked about. She died, then Tess died, then Sam died. There's been all this death. And she's driving it like, what was the fucking point of all of that?
You ever kill
anyone?
Joel
sees the point as, we've done it, we're safe, we can go back to this thing and just ignore the rest of the world.
Right.
And that wasn't the fucking point for Ellie at any stage of this. And she had the opportunity to do that. At Fedra, kind of.
Mm.
She was sort of set up there.
Yeah.
And, like, didn't necessarily choose to leave, but, like, has clearly connected with this other, with this purpose that she has.
She also just doesn't really know any better. She's not coming from a position of knowing what the world was like before.
Mm.
So she could be happy in what the best version of life looks like in this world.
She chose it there. Remember the guy was like, do you want the keys or the cup or whatever stupid fucking thing he set up? But but she's like, yeah, I want the comfortable thing.
Is the good one.
I think the keys
were
good.
The keys, cause it's the key to a happy life.
Yeah, and the cup is full of piss.
Yeah, that's right. The piss cup.
That's right.
I don't want the piss cup.
I thought it was clearly whiskey, but apparently it was piss. But so like, he tells her this fucking thing of like, you just keep going and you find something to fight for. And she cuts him off with this like, that, you know, that's not what it is about.
Mm.
Swear to me that the shit you told me about the Fireflies was true. And I love the way they both deliver these things of, I swear. And she takes a minute. She's like, okay.
Mm.
Like, I love that. Okay. Cause it's so ambiguous of like, it reads to me as like, she's accepted that he's lying and she'll go along with it. Cause she said she'll follow him anywhere. This is where she is now. She does care about Joel. She does see him as a father too. Like, it's not one way. Here's my daughter. She also is like, no, you're like my dad now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
She holds eye contact with him for a long time. And just us having it up on the screen, we're watching it. I didn't notice when we watched it the first time through just how long that pause is.
Really long.
After him saying, I swear, of just like, she holds on it for like a good, like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
It's
like
a while.
Very long time.
And it's almost like she's just trying to like sell it to herself.
Yes. Decide if she's going to accept it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And
because what's the alternative?
Right.
You get into a big thing and if you're asking, if this guy clearly feels this way about you now and you're saying to him, please just be honest with me, and he's not going to do it, well, what can you do?
Like, what, take me back?
Yeah.
Right.
And if he's okay with it, then it's like, oh, this sucks because this is, this relationship means everything to me now.
Right.
And this is who I'm dealing with, but I can't. If he's not going to admit it in that moment, when or why would he ever?
Right.
And maybe she believes it and it's just disappointing.
Yeah.
Because you know...
Yes, there's no...
He's been trustworthy, he's been reliable, at least, you know.
She has nothing else to go on except for what he said.
Yeah.
You know, she has no... She didn't experience any of it. She got knocked down and then woke up, so...
I don't think she buys it in this moment, but I think over time she would go, well, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
I think she makes a decision here to be like, okay, I wasn't buying this for all of today, and I sort of still don't, but from this moment going forward... I just have to live in this reality and convince myself that he's right. Because I think she's too smart.
I think she's too smart too, and it's made a point of telling us how smart she is and how observant she is.
Yeah.
And like we were saying, Joel's not a good liar.
Right.
He's really unconvincing and like convincingly acted by Pedro Pascal. Exactly. But like...
That's the thing about having a guy like Pedro doing this role who's so good. So it's like when you're seeing someone... sort of not be convincing in a thing. It's like, oh, yeah, he's really, you know, this isn't an actor doing a bad job.
This is like this is a person
a guy
lying
fucking
poorly.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird because I tend to agree that she is following him like she said she would.
Yeah. Mm.
And he's told her this and she's like cutting off even processing it anymore and just going, okay, time to live here.
Don't really have a choice, so all right.
And they're back in Jackson. We see it off in the distance. Mm-hmm. Big looking town.
Yeah. Big old town, yeah.
Big wide town.
Yeah.
And that's
Ooh,
it.
Oh, it's movie night.
That's
streaking.
The 9 episodes of season 1 of The Last of Us.
That is season 1 done and dusted.
That's right.
I don't think there is a season 2 that got confirmed like, you know, moments in to this one being a smash.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't think they've said anything about production schedules or timings or when that'll happen. I think House of the Dragon, as maybe a comparison, was in September of last year and isn't going to be until June of next year.
Okay,
they've said. Yep. So that's taking a while.
Yeah, yeah.
And the fucking overall like production of this was so crazy. This episode especially, the way they're able to make that fucking city look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've found the whole series incredibly like convincing and detailed with all of that stuff. So
yeah.
However long it takes, you know, do it, just do it. Don't rush it.
And they'll have whatever budget they want to work with, I'm willing to bet.
Yeah.
That's exciting too, yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see about that. But in the meantime, yeah, that is I guess the show.
That's all the episodes done. Yeah.
Great series. They finally did a good video game adaptation.
The first one.
Yeah. This has been I was skeptical. I was skeptical about this needing to exist.
Yeah.
I was skeptical that they'd do a good job. I know the source material was all really there, but source material is often there.
Sure.
And has the grounds for like a cool movie or whatever they're doing with it, and they take enough bits out and they change enough bits, or it looks really cheap and low rent and they just completely butcher it.
Mm.
Obviously having the, you know, director of the game on board has helped with that authenticity, but the stuff they've added in has been, and also, yeah, hearing people who, I've got a lot of friends who are watching this week to week who haven't played any of the games who are all, I mean, yeah, I would love to be able to have the experience of watching. I feel like this, if you're coming to it completely fresh, would maybe go down as like one of the great, you know, season finales in TV. It's just, it really had every bit of impact for me that it did in playing the game, even knowing that it was coming. But yeah, if you were coming to this fresh, I really think
it's uncommon for a show to be able to have an arc as wrapped up and complete as this one.
Totally.
Like, and it helps that this is the story from the first game.
Yep.
But like it really...
Which was envisioned as just one
as game. A standalone thing. So it is like a story that they've told here. But that's so effective. Like having it, you know, there's clearly places that you can go from this and they will.
Mm-hmm.
But like...
And they have.
They've done that already.
Yeah.
But
you
like,
can,
it's
will,
no,
and have.
Not to spoil it, but they have continued it.
Yeah. It's so satisfying to have something feel like an ending, even though it is like sort of a, well, what now? Yeah. Ending. Like, that's how it felt at the time too. But that was also so impactful about it from the game, was that it's like this kind of open ended.
Well, it wasn't something that games ever did before with their stories. It was always, you know, three-act structure, boom, bam, boom, like wrap it all up at the end.
Totally.
Yeah.
I think that's why I wasn't as skeptical as you about this show, because the story of the games is such a, like, step above 99% of games.
Yeah.
And, like, all the other adaptations they've done, like Sonic or Uncharted or whatever, they're not. They don't approach this
one-dimensional stuff,
like the game already ended on basically this exact moment of like a character's face and a character moment. So the game was already made as a story, but like I am still really impressed that it's come out as well as it has.
I guess I'm more thinking of things like Doom, where the plot of that game is, oh, a portal to hell opens, and then in in the movie they're like, we've gone to Mars. It's like, why are you changing the fundamental? So I just sort of didn't trust that they wouldn't just take all the good stuff and just, you know.
A lot of the times that happens because the original thing is fucking shit. Like, because it's like, well, why is Sonic from a lab experiment or whatever he's from? It's like, yeah, because Sonic's dumb.
Yeah.
Sonic's really silly.
He's a fast hedgehog.
Like, they need to... The portal to hell is weird.
Yeah.
Well, in a lot of cases, it's probably just like the answer to Sonic would have been make it just like a true cartoon movie. Like the Mario one is going to be.
Exactly.
Try and take something very silly and make it real world.
Or don't do it, because most video game stories don't apply, lend themselves. Yeah.
Or change it in a way that's not casting Mark Wahlberg in it.
Yes.
And then you'll be better off.
Yeah. Make it like the Indiana Jones movies, not a shit movie.
It is for anyone who is listening to this who doesn't play games and has seen the Uncharted movie and is unaware of this fact. These two things are made by the same people.
Right.
In terms of the source material.
Yes. Yeah.
The Uncharted movie is based on a game that is made by the same people as Last of Us, which is...
And it's a good game.
It's a great game.
The fourth one in particular, which I think was the one that Neil Druckmann did after The Last of Us. I think he was director of that, or at least maybe story someone or something like
that. Well, it wasn't the people who were previously.
Because it was Amy Hennig for at least the first one. Anyway.
I know, tonally very different games, but as... critically lauded in terms of how fun they are to play as each other.
Yeah.
And you could not get two adaptations that are further apart in terms of how satisfying.
And this one's been great. And maybe we'll talk about that more in the sealed section coming up, the quarantine zone. So if you are just watching the show, we'll see you next week for emails.
Yeah.
But also we'll keep our eyes open for whatever season two is going to, when that's going to show up.
Yeah.
But thank you very much for listening.
Yeah.
Well, again, we'll see you in a week. I don't want to wrap it up like it's not a thing. But we'll see you in a week.
We hope you enjoyed the show. I'm very, very excited to get all these reflections from people who, are just show watchers.
Yep. ClickRideBarelyKnowHer@gmail.com. Your thoughts on this ep, your thoughts on the show as a whole, any like interesting little discussion points or tangents you think might be of interest to us.
Mm-hmm. If you're just show, I'd love to know what you think is next.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What your predictions
are.
Them,
so send those through. And I guess we'll have to work out how we go into them without spoiling.
Yeah,
great question.
How on the money they are.
Maybe
not,
we'll. Yeah, yeah, true.
We'll figure it out.
But if you've played both games and you're happy with spoilers for everything that has happened with The Last of Us across both games and this show now, stick around. We'll do the spoiler section. But if you don't want that and you're just watching the show, don't wreck it for yourself.
Yeah,
we're going into spoilers.
Check yourself out of the podcast before you wreck yourself's experience
the
of the show. Yeah.
Well said.
Thank you.
I love classic hip hop.
So the quarantine zone, you are now entering.
This is now the spoiler filled
zone. If you love spoilers, then baby, you're in luck.
That's what this is. Although they're not really spoilers for us. These shouldn't be spoilers for you.
Yeah.
What is this, Chapel Street on a Saturday night? Because it's fucking spoiler central here. Woo!
Last of Us Part 2, the game. I'm going to spoil it in a second. What? One. Here we are. Was that the same fucking farmhouse that Ellie and Dina live in?
It looked similar. I don't know if it was just meant to be like a visual...
like a nod or
I mean, it's also a farmhouse.
It's a farmhouse. It looks very similar. Yeah.
But it can't be, like, now that I think about it, because that one was near Boston.
I was going to say, yeah, I don't know where. Well, it was near. It would have been near
It's near Jackson. Yeah. So unless that first bit was meant to be near Jackson and that skyline was Kansas City or something.
Right.
Because it had the fucking burnt out tractor in the yard.
Yeah.
It had the same exact look. Like, it really looked similar to it.
Yeah.
I think it was. I do think it was just a reference rather than it being literal.
I mean, it either way.
Yeah. I thought it was. Yeah.
Because even if it is, I assume it's just outside of Boston too because of the Fireflies being there.
Yeah.
But also, they've moved stuff around, like the like Kansas City. It's not in Kansas City in the game.
True.
So. And, like, this was years ago, so maybe Marlene wasn't in the Boston Fireflies at that time.
Mm. I bet we're getting an email already of someone who lives in the area and knows exactly what that skyline is.
That was my house!
Or there's no farmhouses in that entire region.
Yeah. Fucking Stephen King already tweeting, like, that house looked too old. But I thought that was because we did get directly Dina at some point.
Yes.
It was interesting as well. I think we've speculated here a couple of times about whether or not they'll fold in Abby stuff.
Right.
So, yeah, I was pretty heavy on that. I thought we'd see my vision of it was it'd be maybe like cold open or first half of the episode. We'd see a bit of like the doctor going in to do his job just to really kind of like contextualize how awful this decision that Joel makes is.
You could have had that whole zebra scene from the second game, even, like, because it does take place chronologically then.
Yeah.
But I thought, I mean, they sort of still did do that, but just with Marlene. I didn't pick that that would be the way that they would.
And like, with Ellie's mom and, like,
like giving Marlene, like making Marlene the person who you are really, you know, who is being used to fully convey the gravity of this decision that Joel makes.
That's true.
Kind of getting across the same thing that I was thinking that they would be using the doctor for rather than have them be like a, you know, kind of faceless person like they are in the game.
Makes sense. Yeah. They definitely make a point of showing you that doctor dying.
Yeah. I think that was it. That was the extent of them sort of laying the groundwork for remember when Joel did that really fucked up thing? You do, because you saw the hole in his fucking head.
Which I think will make it, really register as, it'll be a real surprise of where that goes in the second season.
Well, and they'll have that same shot probably of his head as Abby as a kid comes in.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm glad personally, I guess, that they didn't address that yet, because I think the structure of the second one needs you to not know quite why they're doing it early on.
Yeah, I think they would have done it well, but you're right. Like, now having it all as one, the fact that people who are just watching this, having not played the game, are experiencing it in more or less the same way that we did getting to the end of the game, other than knowing that there's more to come, obviously. But I do think that's cool that they... I mean, for being basically a one-for-one, I know I had a bit of an issue with that in the Left Behind thing, but it just worked for me here as a finale. It's like not doing too much, you get a little cold open, and then basically one big thing's happening, and that's the ep.
They skip like the tunnel where you drown in the bus. That's like the bit how you kind of get knocked out. But then they still find you and knock you out anyway. But you don't need that fucking.
And the main thing, I really felt like they would not spend much time or any time at all on having Joel, you know, stalk his way through the hospital
and
killing dozens of people, because that's so something that exists for a game, and you have that disconnect of, you know, your hero is just killing people who have a slight, like, you know, Uncharted famously.
Right.
The enemies who you're killing hundreds of are like, they're just doing this. They're just looking for. They're just looking for the treasure.
Yeah, they're doing the same thing you're doing.
They just want the same thing that you want.
Yeah.
But and so I really thought there's no way this show can get away with having that in it. But to have that in it and have it work in, like contextualizing it so differently, where it's not like a fun gameplay segment. It's being used to show you. And I feel like we talked a lot about how, and a lot of emails did, of people wondering whether they were trying to make Joel more sympathetic, the audience more sympathetic to Joel in the lead up to kind of justify his decision at the end more, which I do think they have been doing all the way through up until this last 5 minutes before he does it, where it's like, oh no, this guy's gone psycho and he's doing a horrible. I thought they'd just balance that so well of like building that in, but then just going like at the last minute, we really are going to do everything we can to make this debate argument not as clear cut as like, of course he should have done it.
It does seem like it's emphasizing almost his break from who you think he is. I totally agree that like I'm glad they had him kill as many people as he did. Because it's fucking cool as shit, dude. No, because, like, it is, they make it horrific.
They just did it so well. Yeah, it's so, like I said, I can imagine people, especially too, like, in the States, like, finding it, you know, where that sort of thing happening in the real world is a much bigger threat than it is here.
Right.
I can imagine that being very, very difficult to watch, because I found it very difficult to watch. It was so, grounded and brutal.
I just have a lot of like, basically every bit of violence other than that, like, one big thing in episode 5 where
which really does stick out now. I know, looking back on it was kind of like that was a turning point of like, okay, is this the show now where we're going to get a lot more bombast?
Right.
No, there's just one big boy and then we're basically,
and like a gymnast one who's a kid, and like we'll have some of the weird like
and now that we've shown you them, we're basically not going to show you any more of them for the rest of the series.
Yeah,
there'll be one more
in a flashback.
Yeah,
I loved that. I already said this, but like I guess talking about it maybe more freely with the game, having Ashley Johnson play Ellie's mum, real nice. I liked that.
Yeah,
totally worked. It made sense why she sounded so much like her too.
Yes.
Like you can't really have the person whose voice sounds exactly, because Troy Baker's doing a big voice the whole time.
Right,
but she's basically using her voice in the game. So I really liked that.
It was a bit odd that her voice sounds young.
Totally.
Just the woman, the actor, Ashley Johnson, it's like, oh, yeah, you sound like 14-year-old Ellie. But yeah, it totally worked. I guess
she would be in that world, young mum. Makes sense.
Yeah.
I guess, like, because in terms of, like, season 2 and 3 stuff, we've already talked about a lot of that and we'll probably do it next week. So not heaps to say about that. And this was one of the most direct, I think you said that here's what happens in the game, we're doing it on the screen now.
Yeah.
Even to the point where the ladders and the crates look the same when they were doing that bit.
Bit of ladder work. First time we got some ladder stuff.
I think that was the only time we've had a bit of ladder.
Yeah.
So not a ton, I guess, to really take away from it, because they didn't add much. They didn't show much other than that house looking
that
similar.
One thing that they added I thought was, that was just the right.
Yeah.
It was just the right amount. Like, having that balance of, this guy's gone psycho, he's made this decision, but you've also got this person who we've shown you that she has every reason to care at least equally as much, and she's able to make the other side of the decision.
Like, totally.
Yeah, I just thought that was, like I said, I was a little skeptical on like, do we need the origin story? Like, we get it. She's immune, could be any number of things, but it being used for that justification, I thought really,
I think I also kind of liked it in the same way where like when they were doing earlier in the season, a little bit more work of like, here's exactly what this cordyceps stuff is and here's how it spread. They've done that with like, and here's probably why Ellie's immune.
Yeah.
It takes a bit of any magicalness out of it, which this show is so like trying to be like real.
Which I get, I mean, in a game, it's like, here's your mission as the player. You got this person's special, you got to escort them across the country. So, all right, well, I'm in the game. I don't really care. But, all along the way in this, it's a bit more like, it's like the thing they said about a lot of the justification they had for the infection not spreading through spores. Mm. A lot of it being they don't want characters to be wearing masks when they're in these enclosed areas. But also, like, as we've now seen with COVID, if it's airborne, why didn't this thing just, like, wipe everyone on Earth out super quickly? It's like, you can't, people watching a series aren't going to suspend their disbelief as much as an audience for a video game.
So, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the thought that with the second season as well, not to speculate too much about it, but just from like this bit, the way Joel is snapping back into, and they've made a lot more of an emphasis on like, he used to do this a bunch. The idea that he could be killed for a bunch of reasons.
Yeah.
Is kind of cool. Like, it might be a bit of a reveal to be like, oh no, it's to do with that rather than something from his past, because he's got ton of shit.
Yeah, there'll be a bunch more scenes with Maria and Tommy being like,
it could have been
like
anyone. This,
or just like, is it safe to have Joel around here? The reason I didn't want him to stick around before is because like, He's got a lot of he's fucked a lot of people over.
Yeah. I assume we're getting him gone in a similarly quick fashion in the second season, and then the flashbacks and stuff. From how closely this went with the game, I'd be very surprised if they significantly change the structure of.
Yeah, I'd like to see a bit more fleshing out, because that's the stuff I've enjoyed in this the most. Mm. I'd love it to be not ep one. I'd love it to be, you know, a little more of like. Because, I mean, I really, even knowing it's coming, I think it's going to hit me in the same way of like, I love this guy.
Yeah.
Right. I don't want Bits him, of this episode did, him. Man.
When he was fucking sad in the thing and he like kind of wipes his eyes a little bit, for whatever reason, this guy who isn't in touch with his emotions, I connect with him.
Yeah.
That's funny. Playing the game, the second game, I wasn't upset by Joel's death. Because I was like, yeah, you're a bad guy. Right. And this is going to be an interesting story from this point on. It kind of excited me, if anything. It was like such an impressive twist. But thinking about seeing Pedro Pascal get his head caved in, that'll be fucked up.
I definitely didn't have the like, no, not Daddy Joel reaction that people did where they're like, I don't even want to play this anymore.
Right.
Because I was really interested to see exactly what you're saying. That story of what, okay, cool. How's Ellie gonna?
Yeah, right. I loved the move of it, but I think I'd played one not that long before, so I was really like thought I knew was what I was getting into, and I was like, oh, I feel attached to this guy because I played as him for 15 hours or something.
But which that's
I
think grief.
They've done, they've done a great job of replicating because obviously the challenges that are in the game for you as the player, a lot of them are, you know, mental. They did such a good job of. Hey, now you're playing as this person who did this, who kind of did this awful thing, and you've got to get over that hurdle in order to play this game. That's so interesting, and that's always been the question is like, well, how do you replicate that experience in a TV show?
And you're a lot more primed from it with this because we've seen a lot more of the perspective of the, you know, enemy factions or whatever you want to call them, but we've seen, you know, perspectives that Joel and Ellie couldn't have known about with Kathleen and with David and like these scenes of other perspectives that don't make sense if you're following one character through a game but in a show it's fine, so I think they'll have an easier time almost of flipping back and forth.
I think that'll be okay. Now the more I think about it, I think the people who are just watching the show will be really really pissed off that Joel dies. And I think
maybe
the person playing Abby might have a really tough time of it.
We
go on Twitter and check the trending stuff after the episodes, and like people fucking love this relationship between Ellie and Joel. They love Pedro Pascal. Like the audience for it is very different to the game, where it's a lot of younger people, a lot of young women. I feel like there is going to be not as much. Of a like we were having Knox are like, oh, well, I'm interested to see what this is like as a show now.
For the same reasons, I think there'll be more interest. Because I think that the maturity level of the people watching the show will be higher than the people who responded in the way that they did to the game.
Yeah, I think so too. I reckon it'll be maybe similar levels of divisive, but for different reasons.
Like I think people will be more engaged with it.
Yeah.
Like they'll be upset by it, but as a part of the ride.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And but that also, wasn't. Because also, a bunch of the fucking shit with part two in the game is so muddied by people's veiled pretend responses to, they shouldn't have killed Joel, meaning, I don't think that. There should be gay people. Like, that's what they meant
half the time.
And you can look at the fucking things. We were looking at them before on IMDb the ratings of episode 3 and 7 in particular of this.
Well, it's classic.
What do they fucking have in common? It's insane the way people...
It's classic. Like, it's not even about the fact that it's a gay storyline. It's just that it doesn't make any sense narratively. It's like, it does. It all makes sense.
Yeah, people calling it bad writing. It's like, no, you just didn't like it because you have prejudices.
Yeah.
It doesn't make it bad quality.
And no, because good writing would say heterosexual. They're really spelling out the wrong word that I hate because I'm a fuckhead.
It's also okay to not like what happened in the show because it's a bad thing that happened.
It's meant to be upsetting.
Like, exactly.
And that's the thing. Like, so much of this show is meant to be deeply upsetting.
Yes.
But I do.
So I think people will be ready for that.
It's a challenge for them. I wonder how they're thinking about it in terms of, like, they've already said that they're going to tell the story of part two over two seasons, which I do love in the sense that HBO's renewed it for season two. And then they're like, yeah, anyway, this is going to take us into season three. And they're like, oh, are you now? Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah. So I mean, at this point, I reckon they'll be like,
of course.
Go for four. Please. Hey, if anything, do 11.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're... Yeah, I do wonder how much, because, yeah, that is a big challenge that is like, obviously you have to sit down and think about that challenge when you're deciding to tell that story in the game.
Yeah.
And then I think how you're doing it in this is like, yeah, again, it's a whole different kettle of fish. Do you, especially given that people are then coming to the show, the second season of the show after who knows how long, you know, break in between seasons. Yeah. Do you need to give people... you know, have a bit of extra story. Give it two or three episodes to really get people back in with Joel after
I think it'll be a couple.
And everything. Yeah. And you know, and then drop it on them? Or do you... Yeah.
It's a couple hours in the game anyway. So I think be at least the second or third episode.
You get Abby stuff before
exactly. Happens. Yeah.
Like you meet her and Owen and she's kind of like
the tutorial, right?
Yeah, you play as her like first? Half her, half Joel pretty much.
That's right, yeah.
And a bit of Ellie.
Yep.
And like... I never saw anyone respond to Game of Thrones or whatever with like, well, now I'm not watching after X.
No, that's true. That's true.
So I think people are just more used to it in HBO shows, especially. I think they'll have an easier time with it.
Yeah.
And also you get it, not that you'll know this in the show, but you like he does show up in flashbacks and whatever.
Yes.
So like he will continue to be in, he needs to be in the last episode of season three or whatever.
Yeah.
Seeing as he's such a key part of the ending of part two.
Yep.
If that makes sense. Yeah. So like, he will, I reckon they'll do it the same, but anyway, we'll probably talk about that more next week even.
Yeah. Yeah.
But fuck, I'm so keen to see it because they nailed the first one.
Yeah.
This is a great, yeah. Great, great show. Yeah.
Two has so much room for like, I can't wait to see that story be put in front of people who don't have a chip on their shoulder about
right.
it.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And have it like, get the reset, because even I was confused, like the way that it was told initially in the game took me out of that story because of the structure of it, because it was just back and forth and difficult to follow and whatever, but you know what I mean.
Yep.
And looking back on it, I love that structure of it, and it's a weird story because you almost have to tell it poorly for it to have the impact that it's meant to have,
right? Because like one thing has to make you feel a certain way so that when you experience the next thing, it makes you, and you're back and forth thing, because of the chronology of
it. And you need to not know anything about those characters when you kill them, when you're Ellie.
Yep.
And that is a strange structure and is like, I think just so visibly structured that it's jarring. You know, it doesn't feel flowy and natural in the way that one just zips through the story.
Right.
But it's such an effective way of doing it in the game. I wonder if they do need to do it that way in the show, though, because it's a different medium and maybe you don't get that same sense of ownership of the character so much, and maybe you wouldn't soften even to those characters because you're spending time with them.
Yeah.
Who knows?
It's interesting, too, to think about it. Maybe
I bet they're fucking thinking about it right now.
God, yeah.
Maybe we should all think about this next week and do a little quarantine zone in next week's episode where... Well, let's have a little crack at where we think the line between season two and three is going to be. Because that's what I'm most interested in, of like how they divvy up that story and have an end to a season that feels impactful.
You know what it
means? You know, ties a little bow on it with then leaving enough room to come back.
The perfect way to do it, I know you said to do it next week, but I've already thought of mine. Do it like The Lord of the Rings or like Matrix Reloaded and Revolutions is what I'm thinking. Do them at the same time and then have them come out, start and end of the 1 year.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck.
Two mini seasons I could see, two like smaller ones, two 6 episodes or something like that.
Because I think they need to be told as one story. I don't know.
Yeah,
I agree. Structurally, it's like, well, you just do the first half and the second half, but what a fucking way to end the first half. Like, it's not... People will be,
16 episodes, one season, do the whole thing and make it tomorrow.
And they're in a weird position where they're doing this because there's going to be a third game and they don't want to get ahead of that.
Right.
So... If they had said definitively, like if the studio had folded or whatever and it was like, there'll never be any more Last of Us media, do the second game and then from there it turns into like, you know, the Watchmen series where it's basically sure. fanfic of what would have happened after this, then they probably would be like, yeah, let's crank it all out in one season. But knowing that a bit of it is to, yeah, not have the show catch up to the games.
Yeah, you're right.
Before the third one is out.
Maybe season two is 18 episodes and it just covers the whole of the second game.
That'd be sick.
Like, that's, yeah. They've said they've renewed it for season two.
Yeah.
They haven't said anything beyond that. So it's like, well, maybe you're just doing the whole game.
We'll fucking find out one day.
Yeah, but not for probably like 18 months or something.
Who fucking, yeah.
But we'll be back in just 7 days' time to talk about, yeah, I think the critical response, I'm keen to, yeah, ask my family members that have watched it who haven't played the games, just get all of those responses and a bunch of people's emails. Very interesting.
clickeribarelyknower@gmail.com and let us know what you think. Send us anything you want.
Anything.
At all. And we'll see you next time.
Yeah. Bye.
Goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.